It's Thursday, April 30th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. Election day is just a few days away, and Allen County voters now have vote centers instead of precincts. Families who have been waiting for months to see if they will get access to Indiana's child care vouchers may soon receive good news. And an Indiana program called Handle with Care uses first responders to flag students who might need support. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. Election day is just a few days away, and Allen County voters now have vote centers instead of precincts. The change came last year, and some residents have expressed concern in various forums about what it means. Betsy Catchmar is the co-president of the League of Women Voters of Fort Wayne. She says that most rural counties in Indiana switched to vote centers years ago, including some in Northeast Indiana. Allen County is now among the more densely populated counties adopting them.
The flexible part is that any of the 53 vote centers that are available will be fine for people to go to.
Those 53 vote centers are down from the more than 100 precincts previously offered in Allen County, but each vote center will have at least 10 machines. Indiana's driver's licenses will work as identification, as will a passport. For a complete list of voting locations and dates, visit wboi.org/news. Families who have been waiting for months to see if they will get access to Indiana's child care vouchers may soon receive good news. WFYI's Caroline Beck reports enrollment will resume in late May.
In December, Indiana froze enrollment for its state and federally funded program to help low-income working families pay for child care. Now, after a $200 million infusion in state funds, enrollment will start again. First priority will be given to children who have siblings already using a voucher, and second priority will go towards infants. Adam Alson, director of the state's child care office, says that they created this priority structure based on what they believe is the best use of state dollars.
From the priority group perspective, we took into account what is the most needed in the space.
Allison said he expects to enroll 3,000 new children per month to provide a ramp-up period for child care providers. I'm Caroline Beck in Indianapolis.
When children go through trauma, it can show up in their behavior at school. An Indiana program called Handle with Care uses first responders to flag students who might need support. WFYI's Dylan Pierce McCoy has more.
The goal of Handle with Care is simple. Schools should know when students have been through something rough, when first responders like firefighters, police, or emergency medical services meet a student at a devastating moment, they notify the school. Chelsea Irwin is the Youth and Family Programs Director with the State Health Department. She spoke to the State Commission on Improving the Status of Children.
This child may have been victim to or witness to something. How can we make sure that they are getting support, even if it is just an extra set of eyes on this child?
Irwin says that in most cases, schools can support children in the classroom. Teachers might give extra time for homework or offer a quiet place for students to calm down. I'm Dylan Pierce McCoy in Indianapolis.
38 Indiana counties now participate in Handle with Care. Former students and alumni filed a lawsuit against Martin University in late April after the state's only predominantly black institution abruptly announced it was closing in January. WFYI's Zach Castle has more.
The class action lawsuit alleges the university failed to refund tuition and financial aid to students. One student, Sasha Townsend, planned to graduate in May with a counseling degree. She says in a sworn statement she paid for the spring semester and was surprised by the closure. Martin University has faced long-term funding challenges. In March, Eastern Star Church announced it is seeking to buy the campus. The lawsuit seeks financial compensation for the former students and to halt the potential sale of the campus. I'm Zach Castle in Indianapolis.
Fort Wayne Roller Derby is heading into its 20th season this year, kicking it off with their first home game this Sunday. WBOI's Ella Abbott reports on the community the club is building.
The Fort Wayne Roller Derby team, separated into adults and juniors, has been gearing up for its 2026 season. The club started in 2006 as a women's team, but now it's open to all genders. Nikki Gunn is the board president of the roller derby team now, but when she first got involved with the sport back in 2008, it was just as a fan.
One year I showed up and ran into somebody I knew in my childhood, and she said, oh, we'll go to training camp. It's a super fun, and you can learn how to play the game. You don't necessarily have to make team. You can just be there, get exercise, meet people. So I gave it a go, and absolutely, that was pretty much it.
Gunn says that was back in 2017, and she's been involved with the team ever since, despite not having become a player herself. Instead, she says the opportunity to go through the training camp helped her become a better, more knowledgeable fan.
Because there were plenty of things, especially as rules and everything changed, I didn't quite understand what was going on while I was watching it. I just wanted to see the hits. So I kind of wanted to learn the why and the how and all of that. And so the training camp really helped me with that, and it made me a much better fan.
When the pandemic began, Gunn decided to join the board to stay involved with roller derby, even while they weren't playing games. Zoom meetings kept the team members connected, and they continued having board meetings and planning for their comeback.
We did, unfortunately, at that point, lose our practice space when we came back, so we did have to scrounge, but through a lot of hard work, we found alternates for that and kept the team going.
After the team came back, she took over on merch before becoming president.
We're still not quite back to the numbers where we were pre-COVID, but every year we just get more and more and more, and it's great.
Cryptid Anderson is a member of the junior team and also had to stick it out through COVID. They originally joined the league with their two siblings, both of whom quit during the pandemic. But Anderson, having found a real love for the sport, kept at it. Now 17, they've been skating with the league since second grade.
And I started with Tootsie Rollers, which we were so young. We didn't have any track awareness, could barely skate. We just hobbled around in straight lines, and it was a bunch of fun. We were like the halftime entertainment of the adults game.
Anderson skates under the name Cryptid Caller, and they are committed to being the best player they can be.
I do choose to better myself by staying for not only juniors, but also adults practice.
During the adult practice, Anderson gravitates toward another player, Valerie Gambrill, who skates under the name Slaughter Her. The two stick to each other on the track, playing like a practice duo despite not sharing the team.
I love the people. I love the like community that it is. I love that at any point, if I need anything from any of these people, I can call them up and say, hey, can you help me?
Now a member of the adult team, Gambrill has been playing roller derby since she was in sixth grade.
It's kind of a silly story. There was this book, I think it was called Roller Girl, and it was like a graphic novel when I was in school. And I read it and I was like, these are the coolest people ever. I want to do this.
Gambrill took some time off from the team following COVID, but she says the community she got to build there was unlike any other.
But my one consistent thing was roller derby. I could show up here every Tuesday and my second family was here. It's amazing, and I recommend that anybody give it a try at least once.
Anderson also says that of all of their experiences, nothing has created connections for them like the derby.
The bonds you form with sports teammates are unlike any other friendship you will ever experience, right? Like, I've done theater, I've done choir, there's school, there's sports, anything like that. Sports will always be the closest to my heart.
Fort Wayne Roller Derby hosts its first of three home games for the season on Sunday, with both the junior and adult teams playing. The team also donates money from each of its games to women's and children's organizations in the area. For WBOI News, I'm Ella Abbott.
Find more on this story at WBOI.org. More news in a moment. You can park your old car or truck in WBOI's garage and support your favorite programs. When you donate any vehicle, whether it runs or not, WBOI will pick it up at no charge and turn your old car, truck, RV, or boat into a tax-deductible donation to support the local news you need and the regional music you love. For more information, go to WBOI.org/car. Here's what to know for today. The launch of a new AI initiative aims to integrate artificial intelligence into Indiana businesses. The long-awaited farm bill, which sets policies for agriculture and food, could make it to the House floor by the end of the week. And the Indiana Department of Education will pilot a program that aims to use artificial intelligence to identify students who are at risk of becoming chronically absent. That's Who and What for Thursday, April 30th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter Frequency at WBOI.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbruck. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.